Friday's here. Time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Reuben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth.
And Libby Streetwise.
Get out!
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
We are live, and in Half Moon Bay, Main Street, Half Moon Bay, Coastal Windage. Hello, everybody. It's Friday, September 20th, 2019. Pop the corks and strike up the band. It's time for some Coastal Windage.
Woohoo!
Yes, it's a celebratory... Good morning, Mojo. It's a celebratory morning for me this morning. Today is my anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you. 16 years of marriage, 27 years total with my wonderful wife.
Well done, wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you dated for 11 years, is that right?
Dated,
Wait, you said 27 together,
yeah.
16 of marriage.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm just...
dating, I mean... No, we just lived together, you know, dating, please.
Oh, well... I've heard how people did that back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
That is dated.
You are fired up today.
I'm a little crusty because some people were giving me a hard time. They said they were asking me, like, oh, it's your anniversary. What did you get your wife? And I said, I didn't get her a gift. I was going to give her a nice arrangement of cut
flowers. Hold.
Right. Hey, you know, last year we talked about it. I did get her a nice gift.
Yes, you did well last year.
But one of my friends told me that according to the new rules of the Me Too movement, hashtag Me Too, you're not supposed to give a woman flowers. That's considered somehow...
So I think that Me Too does not equate to romance and marriage.
Right.
I think they're very separate.
Well, maybe I was just trying to grasp onto any little reason to, like, you know...
Because you forgot the flowers.
Well, okay, no. I looked up...
I'm not cutting you any slack on that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I looked up what the traditional 60th... You know how they have, like, the traditional gifts?
Yes.
And, you know, like, 75 years is diamond or something. Well, there is no traditional 16th anniversary gift. They have, like, a list of traditional gifts, you know, which is, like, wood and bone and tin and stuff. And then they have modern gifts, which is, like, you know, silicone and tech gear and stuff. So the modern gift so there's no traditional 16th anniversary gift. The modern gift is silver hollowware, whatever the heck that is. So,
okay, well, take silver and run with it. Okay,
yeah, get her, but silver's like the 20th anniversary, so like...
Oh my goodness!
It's too complicated.
Oh my goodness!
Just get anything that you think
Reuben's
she would like.
Reuben's wife, I think you need to call in.
Yeah.
And go after him on this.
All right, well, let's get the focus off of me. What about kids? Okay, should kids get their parents and kids in any way celebrate their parents' anniversary?
I'm a big believer in no.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Mojo, what do you think?
I'm with you guys.
Yeah, kids are.
It's not about
this. Is a parent.
They have plenty of days.
Yeah. Right. All right. Okay. No. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
I don't think we have, and I am going to wait for a phone call from the wife of Reuben because. Yeah, you're skirting by
flowers.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of which,
thank you
for leading me into that.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, this is Coastal Windage. I know you know that. The talk of the coast, the coastside's number one live call-in talk radio show. We air every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on KHMB Radio. That's 100.9 FM and 1710 a.m. That's on the broadcast waves. For you techophiles, streaming live on KHMBRadio.com, usually... Right now, we are in the process of upgrading some equipment. So to listen over the internet, please go to tunein.com, hit search, and enter these letters, K-H-M-V as in Victor, all right? So K-H-M-V, and that will give you the live stream.
And TuneIn is TuneIn.com.
That's right. Hit search, enter K-H-M-V as in Victor, and that will get you listening live and in real time, which is what we're doing right here. And if you happen to miss the show, you can't figure out TuneIn.com, which I put myself in that category. If you miss the show, you can download podcasts of our past shows from KHMBRadio.com. That URL still works. It's just we're having an issue with our streaming apparatus. So go to tunein.com, hit search, enter K-H-M-V as in Victor. And remember, This is the Coastside's community voice. So let's hear from you, Coastsiders. Why don't we just skip the whole internet thing and you give us a call right now. 560-9851. Send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. And,
yes,
you know, we're always here for the listener. So our first caller today, whoever that person is, whatever they're calling about, and whenever they call during the show.
Ruben's wife.
Oh, yes. This
that
would
could be the present.
This would be perfect.
That's
yes.
Wonderful,
our first
Ruben.
Caller today gets two free all-day passes to the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. And we'll also throw in a limited edition Coastal Windage sticker that you can slap
Whoa.
On your skateboard or something.
You're going to let go of one of those.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Mrs. Truthmaker happens to call in, I mean, I kind of set it up this way. This was my intention that she would be so outraged that she would call in, and then she'd get two free tickets. I mean, I'm trying.
You are such a giver.
I thank you.
You are.
I know. Well, so 16 years ago, we got married. We got married down in Santa Barbara at the Douglas Family Preserve on the Ocean Bluff Tops. We met in Santa Barbara, so it was an outdoor ceremony. It was very special. Family was there, just family, but. So we just had family there. We had our reception up here, where most of our friends and other family are. And we had it at Strawberry Ranch. And I don't know if anybody knows where Strawberry Ranch is. It's at the end of Redondo Beach Road. So
oh.
if you go south of town,
oh, nice.
Out there,
yeah.
there's a house right on the bluff tops there. Right?
Beautiful.
Yeah. They usually do like corporate offsites and things
I
like that up there.
I didn't know about that place.
We were looking for a place that really, like, that we wanted to invite our friends to, that really said, Coastside, you know, this is where we live. This is 16 years ago. This is where we had just moved here. This is where we live. This is what this place is about. And so we spent a lot of time looking for a unique venue. We found the owners of that place and asked them, and they said, well, we're not set up for a wedding reception. It's, you know, it's a house, and we've got, you know, conference rooms and stuff. But we convinced them to let us do it, and it turned out to be fantastic because it's at the end of Redondo Beach Road. It's the only thing down there. There's plenty of parking.
Or there used to be. It used to have nothing down there.
Well, what's down there now?
They've built up houses all along the road. It's kind of, it's butted up right against the Ritz.
Yeah, it's butted up against
so
the
So it's, yeah, you go down there now and there are some houses.
That's the only house at the end of Redondo Beach Road.
At the end.
Yeah.
But along the whole road, yeah. It's different. 16 years ago. Imagine all the things that
if you get a chance and you're looking for some kind of special event, that's a great place
that's
to
nice
hold
shadow.
It. They've got we made homemade pizzas in the kitchen there. We got takeout burritos from El Gran Amigo for our catering for our event. It was great, and again, like that setting right there on the bluff tops, kind of isolated. Really,
and the weather held. It sounds like it was a nice day.
That was my last. That's my lasting anniversary gift. You know, every year we can just remember that. It's a gift that keeps on giving, right?
Wow.
Why do I?
You are really digging deep.
All right.
You are digging.
I'm getting no help here from the crew.
We can hand
quiet.
You another shovel.
There's like 10 people in this room shaking their heads at me.
The interns are walking out, rolling their eyes.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. All right. News and notes. Intro to our topics today. We've got news and notes as always. There's so much stuff going on the Coastside all the time. The paper can't keep up. Next door can't keep up. We try to fill in the gaps. This is the time of year when we do our annual football state of. And before I get the level 7 eye roll from some people in the room who are not football fans, let me just say this is nominally about football, more about futurism and what changes in society and stuff through the lens of football. Okay.
Yes.
And also some mention of our local football teams. And then we didn't get to this last week, and we are definitely getting to this week. Because this is just a controversy just raging up and down the Coastside.
Hornet in your net.
Yes.
Net? Hornet in your
bee in your bonnet.
Bee in your bonnet.
In my wig. Please don't talk about my wig on air. Okay. People are envisioning a nice full curly head of hair. And I would
That's
rather
what
not
you have.
Oh, thank you. Okay. We'll just leave that at that.
Why
composting? It's composting. It seems like a
Whoa. Yeah. Thank the baby Jesus we're gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
that
well,
you know, get really restless nights.
Yeah, hold on to your hose.
Bonnet.
Yeah, hold on to your hose. Okay, 560-9851, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Remember, the first caller this morning gets Santa Cruz Boardwalk ticks. tickets to the boardwalk. Okay. Air quality report. We get this info from airnow.gov. Other places give you the regular stuff like traffic and weather. We give you the important stuff. Air quality. It's the air you breathe. The weather's always going to be there, but the air quality changes all the time. For example, today in Half Moon Bay and the rest of the Mid-Coast, the air quality is 25.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, it was 61 last week, so we're down to 20. But in Redwood City, the smokestack capital of San Mateo County, it's 16.
What?
Yes, and it was 77 there last week. So they've got the filters scrubbing the air down there. Remember, 0 to 50 is good. 51 to 100 is moderate. Okay, we got some emails. Oh, let's see. Email. This one's from last week. I like to have the emails printed out.
I mean, I know you do.
We recycle, but I got to have them in front of me.
Ruben is super organized, everyone, if you couldn't tell.
Looks like one just came in, if you could print that out for me. Okay. Livy, why don't you read the emails?
All right. I don't know what I'm getting myself into here.
I think I have an angry text from my wife.
Okay, this one is from Sister Transistor. Hold on. The phone is all good. The phone was all good. Okay. So this email is Sister Transistor. Tried to listen last week online, but got radio silence. What's up? Tell the truth maker he needs to learn how to put on a decent show. Whoa! We all know he dislikes technology, but if you want people to listen, you need to use the internet, dude.
I don't like it, but I mean, and again, my wife would probably dispute this morning. I'm not stupid. I understand. Agreed. Who is this
you
from?
You almost did try to disconnect the phone. Now I have to make sure that it's still plugged in.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I want people calling. Like, it seems like the whole, you know, like, I'm trying to be a progressive individual here. Like, do we really need to give anniversary gifts? And I feel like I'm about to get pilloried here.
Oh, boy.
Sister, that's who this one is.
Okay,
Sister Transistor.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with Sister Transistor. The internet is the way to do it, and that's really where I think we have most of our listeners. But, you know, station owner Jim Henderson, he's a modern guy. He loves high-tech equipment where we just always have crates and crates of stuff that's coming in. And I just feel like the engineers can't keep up with his vision of, you know, a modern system.
Mm.
I can't keep up either. But this is why I hate tech. I hate syncing. I hate having to update my software. Seemed like the hamsters that we have here were doing just fine. So
yeah,
I don't...
Well, Sister Transistor says it all. I mean, I think you'd be happy if we were on Transistor.
Well, just you know what I'd love? I'd love to have like an old-timey person with one of those like Farrell's ice cream long sleeve shirts with the little garter on, doing like a telegraph.
Beep, 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 Morse code. Beep, beep,
beep. Yeah, and since that would be our show.
Wow.
Like translating as we talk.
That's really.
And then people would just be sitting in their houses listening, and instead of, you know, words coming out, they'd have a little like paper
ticker
thing
tape.
That would, it would come out like, okay, Coastal Windage, live from Map Moon Bay.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right, we need to. I have one more email here.
Okay.
This, you're not gonna like this.
What?
I don't know. The Ruben Truthmaker wife might be happy, but can't believe this is from Diamond Joe Quimby. Can't believe somebody has been able to tolerate being married to Ruben Truthmaker for 16 years. Ouch. Paraphrasing the immortal Jerry Seinfeld, look at you, Truthmaker. You're disgusting. You're bald. You're paunchy. All kinds of sounds are emanating from your body 24 hours a day. If there's a woman that can take your presence for more than 10 consecutive seconds, you should hang on to her like grim death. Which is not far off, by the way. Wow, Diamond Joe, that is rough times. You know, as much as I think that Ruben is in the dark about this gift thing, you know, I've known he and his wife for a long time, and they make a great match, and that is really rough. That's a really rough description.
I just can't, like, get in sync this morning, because I don't even, like, I don't even mind that somebody's giving me a hard time about the anniversary. People are revealing my, like, this. The whole point of radio is I can go on as some, like, tall, strapping,
Rico Suave.
Yeah, and, like, people are talking about my toupee and my bald and paunchy and sounds. I mean, people, you're stripping back the curtain here. Like the truth maker legend can't live if people know that what we're talking about is a short, bald, paunchy person. So, get, come on, people. Let's go with the facade, please. All right. All right, let's get to our news and notes. What's our situation on commercials? I know we're like always booked up on commercials.
You know, I'm working on that. Actually, I'm going to be talking to someone today that I think the business would do really well being mentioned on our show. I know I'd enjoy it myself.
Well, here's the problem. Anybody who's thinking about it, the thing is your business is going to like, you know, quadruple literally overnight.
It's kind of like Shark Tank.
Yeah, can you handle it? Is your business ready to advertise on Coastal Windage? Because you're going to get flooded.
Through the roof.
All right, let's go to our news and notes. So the Moss Beach crosswalk update, you know, last week, you know, I had to eat a little bit of crow because I was, like, seeing all these conspiracies in it. Well, all right, so we made a bunch of calls. Turns out there wasn't really a conspiracy. However, there's still a mystery. Okay, so maybe not
and
a
it's still terribly done.
So just to bring people up to speed, on August 22nd, literally in the dead of noon, some crew apparently from Caltrans showed up and slapped some paint on the ground in Moss Beach. It created a firestorm of outrage of people because it was very dangerous. Other people are upset that there's been a process in place for 10 years trying to get a safe, you know, real crosswalk put in, blah, blah, blah. So, in doing our own investigation, listening to what the MCC has to say, it turns out this looks like an issue where, for some reason, Caltrans didn't follow its usual process, and now, in my opinion, is not being completely honest about what transpired. We still don't know why this thing was put in there and why it was so hastily done. The public information officer from Caltrans I spoke to last week assured me that all the requisite engineering studies had been done and that engineering had signed off on this, and it was just a matter of the installation crew got overzealous or something.
Because they were toddlers who drew outside the lines and didn't follow the regulations. I mean, it's 7 feet across and the minimum.
So yesterday they were out there slapping some paint on there to just widen the line. So now it is, I think, the official 8 feet. And they put up some signs, some permanent signs, which this is how... During the Bush years, I used to say, like, whatever the public spokesman for Bush and Cheney is saying, you just reverse engineer that for truth. What do they want you to think? That's what they're saying. Reverse engineer that out to figure out, like, what really happened. They want you to think this, so based on what they said, what actually happened. So if we reverse engineer for truth on this thing, why did this crosswalk go in and why was it done so poorly? Well, let's look at some of the facts. I was assured by the public information officer that all the engineering studies had been done and this was checked off. But we were then told also that the reason they hadn't put permanent signs in at the same time that they put the crosswalk, the paint on, is because they didn't know if there was underground cables or pipelines, and so they couldn't dig the post holes for the signs. That seems like a basic thing that would be uncovered during an engineering study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they don't know that, the day they're slapping the paint on there, it seems hard to believe that engineering had done all the traffic surveys and everything. And so to blame it on the installation crew, I'm not buying it. Also, as I reported last week, CHP came to the MCC meeting last Wednesday and said, according to what they know at that time last week, Caltrans didn't do it. Why would the CHP be operating under that? CHP and MCC called down to our local Caltrans maintenance station just south of town here. They didn't know anything about it. So that's probably why the CHP didn't think that Caltrans did it. They called our local station that would have handled this kind of thing.
Hmm.
They didn't know anything about it because they didn't do it. So again, the mystery, who signed off on this and where did the crew come from that did this if not the local station, and why is an outside crew doing it? What is happening here?
You know, there's a small station over in Princeton, you know.
Yeah, the maintenance yard.
So, I mean, they could, you know, have done that.
They could have, but again, I would expect that the Highway Patrol would have contacted the local stations. This seems pretty clear that this is not part of the local crew that regularly handles this stuff. So why did an outside crew come in? Why did they do it at this time? This has gotten the attention of San Mateo County supervisor for District 3, our district, Don Horsley. And he's apparently, Coastal Windage informants tell us that he's not very happy about this. And he shouldn't be. This happened in his district, yeah. And he spent a lot of time and effort trying to get a quality crosswalk put in safely and to have this thrown up.
You know, I also have to say that whoever is responsible for this had better thank their lucky stars to date that no one has gotten killed in that area because, or hurt. For that instance, because this is a litigious situation to the nth degree if someone gets hurt, and they will find, you know, if it gets to that,
speaking of litigious, so another piece of information that has come in is apparently a day or two before this crosswalk suddenly appeared, a couple of ladies were crossing the road at that exact spot, and one of them fell and hurt herself pretty badly.
Ugh.
And then couple days later, suddenly there's a crew hastily slapping some paint on the ground. Mm. I mean, maybe that's just coincidence, but seems like those two things are related. And so why would Caltrans do that? Was there some threat of lawsuit? Were they supposed to have done something and they didn't? And so now they're trying to rush it in there now that somebody's got hurt. I don't know, but this story is ongoing and we'll continue to follow it. The bottom line is, in my opinion, Caltrans is not giving an honest answer as to what happened, and I would like to know, A, what the honest answer is, and B, why are they not giving us an honest answer on this? All right, those two are probably connected. All right, moving on to other distressing Coastside news.
Oh, my goodness.
So yesterday,
on
the one-year anniversary to the exact date
I heard about this.
Of a bomb threat that created pandemonium at Cunha Intermediate School, yesterday... parents of Cunha students received phone and email alerts about a, quote, community safety concern at the school. So as a parent, I received this email and phone call. By the way, the phone call was inaudible. Couldn't understand half the words, so that was useless. Apparently, a person in the community made comments about the school doing something to the school that were overheard by a student. The comments were made off campus and after school. And the email I received didn't say what the comments were, but this student heard these comments and reported it to Cunha administration yesterday morning. Cunha contacted the sheriff's office. Now, this is where the email breaks down for me. As of yesterday afternoon, the email said Cunha had determined that it was not a credible threat, but the sheriff was still investigating. So I'm not sure what the Cunha security apparatus is that would determine this is not a credible threat while the sheriff is still investigating.
Mm.
But anyways, as a parent, it's also frustrating. So you're telling me there was a threat. You're being very vague. Somebody made a threat about something, but we've determined it's not a threat. Just tell me what it was. I can handle it. Like, did the person say they were going to bomb the place, shoot it up? Like, why can't you give me that information as a parent? Because now I'm just asking questions. It's fueling further, you know, gossip and discussion. Like, what was it? Was it bomb? Was it guns? Was it, you know, fire? Well, anyways, I find it very distressing that it's on the one-year anniversary of a bomb threat last year. I mean, what's the deal with September 19th and Cunha? And why is it always Cunha?
Have you seen the news commercial that the Sandy Hook parents put out?
I've only seen the headlines.
I mean, it just is thing? Intense.
I heard Sandy Hook is elementary school in Long Island that was, Connecticut?
Connecticut
that was shot up by some Yahoo with an assault rifle.
And it's just... Bone-chilling.
Five-year-olds.
Bone-chilling. Because
20 of them.
It kind of starts off in a snarky way. Like a boy is going to his locker. He's like, look at this brand-new backpack that we got for school and all this. And suddenly you see him running down the hall, and it's one of those bulletproof backpacks.
Wow.
And, you know, all, like... Boy, these scissors really come in handy, you know, in the classroom. And there's some girl cowering on the side of the door, like holding it, trying to make sure that someone doesn't walk into the room. And it is super powerful. It definitely gets the point across. And we have got to get our emergency procedures in check fast.
Well, I mean, that's downhill. We got to get some legislation, which we used to have about assault rifles. Okay, speaking of disasters and danger and not doing what's right for what needs to be done, District 3, our district, our San Mateo County Board of Supervisors Supervisorial District, hosted President Trump on Wednesday to visit our very own District 3 for a fundraiser in Portola Valley. The event was held at the home of Sun Microsystems co-founder Scott McNeely. Tickets ranged from $1,000 per person to $100,000 per couple. And it's reported that the event raised $15 million. The location of the event was kept secret, even from attendees, until the very last minute. Possibly one reason is because in 2016, 76% of San Mateo County voters voted for Hillary Clinton, 18% voted for Trump. But when you're talking about the 1%, money talks and nothing else really matters, I guess. So the problem for us and the reason that we're talking about this national issue on our show is this: President Trump came to District 3, the same district when we're trying to get a crosswalk or a community center or something. We are having to basically battle for the same pool of money with Woodside, Portola Valley, Menlo Park, Atherton. Yeah. And guess who gets all the attention? You know, guess where $15 million gets raised in a couple of hours?
Yeah.
It's not for the coast side. It's not on the coast side.
It does also happen for the other party, too. You know, let's be clear that if... What I'm saying is that
nobody's doing a $15 million fundraiser on the coast side.
That's true.
The centers of power, not only in the nation, but in our district, are not out here on the coast side. And so we get the crumbs. That's my point here.
Just to add to that really quickly, I was just talking to someone from Menlo Park, and they are now going to be charged. There's something that is likely to pass. The residents are going to be charged if they park their car in the street. Well, and her friend already pays $100,000 in taxes every year, and they can't park. They have three cars and a two-car garage, and they do. They park in front of their house. And now they are going to have to pay to park their car. And that's Menlo Park.
Well, that is definitely...
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Menlo Park for free.
Yeah,
park
in no Menlo kidding. Park. Yeah.
All right, let's run through some quick things here. Summer's End Music Festival. Are you playing? You're playing?
No, I'm drinking.
You're going. Mojo. For those of you that don't know,
the band will drink together.
Mojo's quite an accomplished musician, so I was wondering if he was going to be one of the bands playing. So this is in Carter Park, which is that sunken bowl
by
Stone Pine Center.
Yeah, that'll be
this
great.
This is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's a day of music, free activities, food and drink. The bands that will be there include Crooked Branches, Afrolicious, Coast Tribe, and the Stone Fox. So, Mojo, you're there with your band, or you're just there with your buddies?
We're there. We can walk to the drummer's house.
Cool.
As needed. So, it's just kind of a warm-up. We might play back.
During the guitar solo, the band's going to walk to the drummer's house.
Probably the drummer's solo.
Refresh.
That's great. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be great.
We're trying to make a family thing out of it.
Check that out. And if you're not going to that, tomorrow is also Coastal Cleanup Day, the annual event where people gather to remove trash from the beaches. Per the Half Moon Bay Review, quote, San Mateo County Health Department asked volunteers to bring a bucket, gloves, sunscreen, closed-toed shoes, and a reusable water bottle. County is also asking everybody who officially participates to sign a waiver, because liability insurance rules the world.
Yeah.
So you can go to San Mateo County Health website or sign up on-site. There's going to be staging areas in Montera, El Granada, Half Moon Bay, San Gregorio, and Pescadero. It's a good cause. Check that out. Okay, so Seton Coastside, with the hospital, the only hospital for 73 miles, I believe, along the coast. There's a buyer. This really sounds like an organization that cares about your health. Strategic Global Management, Inc. Like, that doesn't sound like a...
That's warm fuzzy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a company that's just going to piece this out and sell off the pieces. Has offered $70 million for Seton Coastside, Seton Medical Center in Daly City. California Attorney General has imposed conditions on the sale, stating that Seton Coastside must stay open for at least six more years. SGM has indicated that it might pay more if these conditions were lifted. Sounds kind of like a bribe to me.
Yikes.
Yeah. County is already giving tens of millions every year to these two hospitals to help current owner Verity Health with seismic retrofitting and to support the skilled nursing facility at Seton Coastside. All right, let's go to commercial break. When we come back, there's a couple more things I just want to mention around town. And then I want to get to football, state of.
And what about composting?
Yeah, well, definitely we're getting to compost. And listeners, I know you want to get on this composting thing. pile in, dig in on the composting. 560-9851 or send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these commercials.
Hi there, this is Audrey at Small Town Sweets. It's been 1 year since opening the candy store on Main Street, and I'd like to thank everyone for the support and making my job so much fun. I've added to the collection of nostalgic candies, chocolates, licorice, and taffy, and I now have imported chocolate and marzipan. And don't forget about Fresh Fudge Friday. I make my fudge using only the finest ingredients. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram to see what's new. Small Town Sweets is located at 516 Main Street next to the historic Half Moon Bay Bakery. Just ask some of my friends what they think.
We love Small Town Sweets!
This is Brian Botis, general contractor and owner of Botis Construction. For over 20 years, our company has been serving Coastsiders in all phases of remodeling and construction of residential and commercial projects. Our satisfied customers say it best.
I'm Libby Streetwise, co-host of Coastal Windage, KHMB's Friday morning talk show, and I can speak from personal experience working with Brian Botis and his team that they are first rate all the way. They did a home reno for me, and we couldn't be happier.
To learn more about Botis Construction and see some of our work, visit us on our website at botisconstruction.com.
Worried about being a victim of identity theft? Worried about entering personal information online? Have you ever lost your wallet? Hi, this is Laura Marley, the Coastside's independent ID Shield associate. Identity theft has been one of the top consumer complaints filed with the FTC for 18 years straight. Don't become a statistic. Victims are spending an exorbitant amount of time and money dealing with it. The criminals are getting smarter. Breaches happen too often. That's why you need identity theft protection that's more than a website. ID Shield is the solution. ID Shield provides monitoring of everything that matters, including credit and internet monitoring. ID Shield is the only identity theft plan that provides access to private investigators and includes full restoration services. Contact me for a no-obligation consultation on ID Shield services. I invite you to call me at 520-8000. That's 520-8000. Or visit me online at lauramarley.com. Enjoy the peace of mind that comes with an ID Shield membership.
Hi, this is Bob with BK Motors, and I have a problem. I need inventory. We've been so busy selling cars, I've almost run out of cars to sell. If you're looking to sell your car and you're scared of having unwanted people come to your home, look no further. We can help you sell your car. We specialize in selling cars on consignment at BK Motors. We go out on all test drives. We take care of all the DMV paperwork for you, and we also arrange for financing for all the new buyers. Give us a call at BK Motors at 726-8220 or go online to bkmotors.com to see all of our inventory. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. and on Saturdays from 7 a.m. till 12 noon. Again, our number is 726-8220. Come on down. We look forward to seeing you.
We're back. Coastal Windage. Ruben Truthmaker here with Livy Streetwise and Mr. Mojo Filters. That number to call, 560-9851. We're going to be talking about football, state of, and composting for the rest of the show. And if you're trying to listen on the internet, then you're not hearing me right now. But if you're listening on broadcast radio and you know someone who's frustrated they can't hear us on the internet right now, tell them to go to tunein.com, hit search, and enter the letters K, H, KHMV as in Victor, and they will be able to hear us right now live like we are right here. Also, first caller today gets two free all-day passes to the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, good till the end of the year, and we'll also throw in a limited edition Coastal Windage sticker. You don't want to miss out on that. Okay, a couple quick things before we get into football. This is important. Coastside Youth Sports Open House on September 24th, 2019 from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Lions Den. Oh, excuse me.
Oh,
the new gym on Kelly Avenue.
That was a dig.
Also known as the Lions Den now. there's going to be an open house where all of the local youth sports leagues will be represented. You can get questions answered. You can sign up. You can learn more about it.
Oh,
AYSO, Half Moon Bay Little League, Maverick Swimming, Half Moon Bay Girls Softball, Coastside Football and Cheer, Coastside Basketball, Half Moon Bay Soccer Club, Half Moon Bay North Coast League, Roller Hockey, U.S. Tennis Association, CYO Athletics, and Half Moon Bay Pirates Youth Baseball. Coastal Windage is going to be there, too, because we're still trying to work on that game night sports talk radio show. And we want to...
You're going to be there?
I'm going to check it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. Okay, you had something else you wanted to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to mention the Coastside Garage Sale, September 8th. It's going to be going from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's free registration for all Coastsiders, Montara to Pescadero. So you need to, it looks like you need to register on or with the HMB review. And if you sign up by, let's see, what's the date today? The 20th?
Yep.
You sign up by today, you get on the printed map.
Oh.
So they will pinpoint where all the garage sales are.
Okay.
So get on that if you are interested in doing it, because today is the last day if you want to be on that map.
All right. Good to know. Okay. Football. State of last Friday night, our hometown Half Moon Bay High Cougars trounced Sacred Heart Prep 44-0. So the state of football on the coast side sounding pretty good. I'm not sure if this team is as good as the one that nearly won the state championship 2 years ago. Remember, they went to the final game, and we've got a phone call. Okay, looks like somebody wants those tickets and that sticker. This is Coastal Windage. Who are we speaking with this morning?
Hi, this is Chalisa.
Hi, Chalisa.
Chalisa, where are you calling from?
Right now, across from Cunha's Country Store.
Oh, nice. Okay, Chalisa, what's on your mind this morning?
Oh, well, I would really like to grab those tickets to the boardwalk.
Nice. Okay. Well, Chalisa, thank you for the call. You've got two boardwalk tickets and a limited edition Coastal Windage sticker. We will leave that for you at the KHMB offices. I'm not sure the exact address. You can look that up on the internet. Station owner Jim Henderson should be there.
It's right across from the kind of catty corner to Moonside Bakery in that office building. It's kind of the green office building. It's right in there. And you go down the steps, and the radio station is right there.
Oh, okay.
And we'll put your name on the tickets.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe check back in a little later this afternoon. I'm holding the tickets in my hot little hand right now, so I need to walk them over there. But I will drop them off with an envelope with your name on it, Chalisa, and two tickets and the sticker. Anything you want to talk about or just getting the swag?
I'm just getting the swag this morning. Thank you.
Hey, that's what we're here for. Thanks for listening,
thanks
Chalisa.
So much
appreciate it.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okay,
yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we've got people listening. We love that.
Fantastic.
Okay. So, again, not sure if the Cougars are as good as the team that almost won the championship a couple years ago. They're 3-0 now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and the Sacred Heart Gators were previously unbeaten.
Wow.
So Cougars are home again tonight, 7 p.m. against El Camino.
What makes you think they're not as good as last year?
It's only 3-0. So, the other team went to the...
Were they all championship undefeated?
Yeah, I believe they were.
Oh,
all right, so we don't know yet. It's early in the season.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the mighty Cunha Cubs dropped their first football throwdown of the season on Monday, 28-8, to Green Middle School Jaguars in Palo Alto. The thing about the Cunha Cubs football team is most teams in their league have... Oh, and we've got another call. Okay, this is what we love to hear. All right, Coastal Windage, who are we talking with this morning?
It's Penny Packer.
Penny Packer. Okay, Penny Packer, where are you calling from?
The Northern Midwest.
The Northern Midwest. Okay, a vague answer. Penny Packer, yes, Penny Packer's called many times over the course of the show. What's on your mind, Packer?
Well, I was listening to you online, and I missed last week's show, The Live-In, so I heard listen to the podcast, and I wanted to speak to Libby about the Spam Museum that she visited in Minnesota is in Austin, Minnesota, one of my mother's favorites.
Right she on! That is so great! A shout-out to the Spam Museum! I love it. I'm telling you, it is an interactive, wonderful place of goodness.
Well, hold on a second. So, again, like, did you eat some Spam there?
I did, and they have lots of different flavors.
Right. Okay. But shouldn't the Spam Museum be in Hawaii? Why is it in Minnesota?
Because that's where Hormel Foods is located.
Yeah.
Which makes Spam.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Penny.
Spam is as an abbreviation for spiced ham. Is that correct?
I have no idea.
Well, I'd have to Google that, but I think you're about right. Yes.
Okay. Well, you both have been to the Spam Museum, and you don't know what Spam is a contraction for?
No,
come on now.
I was too mesmerized by the...
Well, I have never been to the Spam Museum, but I always threaten to take my mother there because it's her absolute favorite, and I say that with a level 3 eye roll.
Only a level 3, though.
So,
okay, so that's just a moderate eye roll.
I'm telling you, if you want to make her bucket list, you should go and... Save up, because the gift store, it's like Christmas Day. I mean, they have the best t-shirts. They have little ornaments. They have mouse pads. They have hats. They have everything you can imagine. Duct tape.
The mouse pads and the Spams taste the same?
They might.
All right. All right, Penny Packerell. I don't think we'll save any boardwalk tickets for you unless you're planning on coming out here in the next couple months.
Well, I haven't planned on it, but as you know, Penny Packer travels a lot, and I also heard that you, Ruben, went to Lake Powell, which is a huge coincidence because my family and I also visited Lake Powell this year, and I found it absolutely amazing, and so I was glad to hear that you had gone as well, but I think there's a little conspiracy behind that because I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that Utah has been really pushing its tourism, especially to California residents, and now their Big Five, which are their Big Five national parks, are kind of being overrun. Lake Powell is not one of those Big Five, but I was just curious about what you thought about the crowds in the southern Utah area, because I thought they were a little high, but again, I went in August, which is prime tourist season, but wanted to know your opinion.
The crowds were a little high. I mean, I hope you're not referring to me. I wasn't that drunken fool in the powerboat that went by at 30 miles an hour. That wasn't me. Penny Packer, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Keep listening. Thanks for listening online. Keep calling. Thank you.
And thanks for the shout out to the Spam Museum.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Thanks for listening.
Right.
Yeah, Lake Powell, went there this summer. It's an amazing spiritual place. Everywhere you look is 100 times better than the best view in Monument Valley.
Wow.
Any and every place that you are. So I highly recommend it. It was amazing. Again, it's a transformative spiritual place that, there's people with powerboats and jet skis, but there's also just the most amazing canyon country, and I love that canyon country. Okay, back to football. So Cunha Cubs lost their first game. Most of the teams in their league play only 8th graders or only 7th graders. The Cunha team has 6th through 8, so we've got little 6th graders playing against big old 8th graders. They did pretty well. Let's see, on Monday, quarterback Maverick Johnson hit wide receiver Kenji Holcomb for a deep bomb for the Cubs' only score. And the Cubs are in action again today at home against the mighty Bobcats of Burrell Middle School. The game is at 4 o'clock on the Cunha Athletic Field. Go check it out. Now, the reason I mentioned Cunha is they play a futuristic version of football with flags and no tackling, also known as flag football. And we've stated on the show beginning 2 years ago, the NFL will be non-tackle in 25 years. It could be flags. It could be what will probably be is some kind of sensors, like in the uniform, right? So it'll be a basically two-hand touch where it'll be sensors. We consider the possibility that football might be played with human-controlled androids, you know, just like just the players are just sitting in a box, you know, controlling androids. But people love robots, but in sports, people still like to see their humans actually doing the work. So, you know, I don't see – it's probably going to be humans with some kind of sensors in their uniforms. There'll be no helmets, no tackling in the future. It'd be better marketing of players because they'll be able to see people's faces and less injuries. Here's the thing. This is why this is going to happen. Tackling is non-sustainable. The players are too big and fast and strong. The cost is too high for the owners and the players' careers. The injuries from tackle is ruining the game right now. Right now we've got star quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger are out with injury. Other stars like Andrew Luck and Gronkowski are choosing to retire at early age instead of continue to try to get through these injuries. The NFL is now employing something called load management, where they're not playing. This is what we already predicted, that in the future, as we transition to non-tackle football, the stars won't be playing all the time. The stars will just come in for key moments, and you'll have basically cannon fodder playing all the rest of the plays. So, yes, load management is being employed by the NFL right now. The Philadelphia Eagles canceled their practices this week to, quote, save their players for the game. The preseason is a joke where nobody really plays, and the first couple of weeks of the season have been terrible because it's basically preseason. Teams are rusty and working out the bugs because they don't want to play anybody in preseason because they don't want anybody to get hurt. Currently, the NFL collective bargaining agreement limits teams to only 14 full pads practices during the entire year, so they're not even like practicing in full pads. The L.A. Rams signed their running back, Todd Gurley, to the biggest contract ever by a running back, and he only plays a few plays a game. This is what we're talking about, the load man. He's the star of the team, making the most money on the team. He only plays a few plays a game because they can't afford to play him all the time. He'll get hurt. Everybody gets hurt.
Okay, can I just interject here for a minute? I mean, don't you think we as humans have always, for as long as we can remember or have record, have enjoyed a blood sport of some kind? I just think it is in our nature. I don't think you will ever lose the audience that is currently watching the NFL. I don't think that touch football or whatever you're talking about with the sensors will garner the same. There is always something. It's like you go from gladiators.
You're talking as if there's some kind of free market in which what people want dictates what you'll see. There's no free market. This is going to come from the top down. The owners that are paying hundreds of millions of dollars to players that can't play because they get immediately injured. Players who want to extend their careers for years and years instead of just like a 4-year NFL career and they're out. They want to play for 15 years. The people with the money are going to be deciding what happens, and the fans are just going to have to lump it. And so that's what's going to happen, is that they're going to go away from tackling because there's too many injuries. Owners are paying too much money to players who are not playing. Players want to extend their career. This is all about money, and that's why it will happen. And the game actually will be more exciting. It'll put emphasis back on things like speed and quickness and agility rather than size and strength. Here's an interesting thought.
I'm not saying it won't exist.
It already exists. There's already a professional flag football league.
Okay, so you're talking flag versus, like, sensor.
Well,
like,
non-tackle. So there's already a flag football league, but, again, like, people love tech. You know, the NFL's got to make this sexy in some way because the blood sport, people want that.
Yeah.
So it'll be a hybrid. Well, they'll still be blocking. They'll still be, like, hits. But here's it's about the transitions. People can't imagine, like, how is the NFL going to be touch or non-tackle. Here's the first one that'll happen. Within a few years, maybe 5 years, the quarterback position will be not, you won't be able to tackle the quarterback. You won't be able to hit the quarterback. That will be the first position that has some kind of sensor.
I would agree with that.
Okay, and then it'll be kickers, and then it'll be wide receivers, and pretty soon it'll be everybody because it's about these transitions. So that's how it's going to happen, and it's going to happen for money reasons, and it's already happening. If we go back to a game that's about quickness and agility, in my opinion, it'll be more exciting. And I'm kind of excited about the idea of maybe women starting to play football. Carly Lloyd, player for the women's soccer team, was out playing with the Philadelphia Eagles at their practice. She was kicking 55-yard field goals.
Wow.
Now, if the kickers you couldn't tackle them or touch them, we might be having, you know, a chance for women to get in the game starting with kickers and then maybe into other positions as their, you know, speed and quickness gets highlighted. So I would love to see, and I'm sure the Chicago Bears wouldn't mind having a field goal kicker that could kick a 55-yard field goal. But those are some interesting things that can happen when you get away from, you know, 350-pound people tackling each other and hurting each other.
Well, so. I think that you have your I mean, this is perfect for the sports show that you are wanting to start, because I can't disagree with you. I just don't know. I don't know that it's going to happen in that kind of timeline.
25 years. So that's okay. Why every year we do a football comma state of, so we can mark the progress. Again, within a couple of years, there's going to be the quarterback position will be a non-tackling position with some kind of sensors.
With, I told you
oh,
so,
yeah.
Cosi.
That's why I got to keep this alive, because I'm waiting for the... Okay.
I know.
560-9851, coastalwindage@gmail.com. We've got some emails real quick. Okay, I want to get to composting.
You've got to get to composting. We got 10 minutes.
All right. This is from the email from listener Money, 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 Money Man. I wish Donald Duck Drumpf would come to Half Moon Bay and buy a hotel here. Imagine the boost to our local economy if we had the Saudi royal family blowing through town every couple of weeks. Not to mention military traffic from Moffett Airfield. Somebody should tell him about the proposed Dunes Beach Hotel project. I am sure he could pull some strings and get that thing built. Ouch.
Is that still in the works, the Dunes? I haven't seen
I don't
signs
know.
Let's, out there.
No, don't tell Trump about that. No. Actually, I believe this email is what is known as trolling.
Yeah.
I mean, money... Who's this? Money, 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 man. Come on, give us a break here. But I guess it's our own fault. We brought up the fact that he was here in District 3. It's an interesting question. A listener has brought it up. What if Trump did buy the Ritz-Carlton or something? Would that, with all the, apparently the money he's making at his hotels with the, you know, the government entourages and other foreign governments coming, wouldn't that be a great boost for the local economy? Wouldn't we finally get, you know, maximum occupancy for our local hotels?
Well, I mean, putting him out of the equation, I mean, if anyone came in with the money to just outright, I mean, let's say it was Zuckerberg.
No, but what? But the key here is that he's using the government to enrich his properties, right? By having the Secret Service, by going down to Mar-a-Lago and having all the Secret Service retinue and all those people, the Saudi family, other foreign governments coming to his hotels. He wants to have the G7 at his hotel in Florida. So if we had all of that coming here, those rich, high-profile people coming here, wouldn't that boost the economy? Something to think about.
No.
All right.
I a lot of conspiracy theories would be going on.
Well, anyways. All right, here's an email from listener. Pigskin is for eating. Football is a dead sport, Ruben. Let it wither and die. I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. Move on to the future of sports like drone racing and e-gaming. You know, I tried to watch drone racing one time. It's on ESPN.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's unwatchable. It's in like a dark room and there's just lights zipping around. Like in a few years there will be more universities offering full ride e-gaming scholarships than there will be schools with football programs.
I believe that.
Yeah,
I think that that's true.
I think that's a good call, Pigskin. On the way home from work the other night, I listened to an hour-long discussion analysis show on the local sports radio station. Mm-hmm. I was hoping to get a football game or something. This was like this sports talk show about e-gaming. I mean, they were talking about leagues, championships, teams, players, agents, results. I literally didn't recognize one single word they said the entire hour. But they had a lot to say, and this professional e-gaming is getting pretty big. I mean, there's...
Huge. There was like a 16-year-old that just won what? It was like a $3 million prize for Fortnite?
And universities are giving e-gaming scholarships. All right. Let's do it. Why composting?
Oh, my
goodness. Okay. So composting,
yay.
Right?
I've been waiting 2 weeks.
Mojo, get in on this.
I'm ready to worm my way in.
Oh, dear. Okay, so he's been waiting 2 weeks to get that line in. It was a good one, though. It was worth the two-week wait for that. So do you guys compost at home?
No.
Mojo?
We have a compost can, you know, but I don't, like, put out all the...
So what do you do with your food scraps? They go to the landfill.
Yeah,
okay.
No, they're biodegradable. I mean, carrots and
where do they go?
They go down the garbage disposable. Disposal. Sorry.
All right. Good for the soil, environment, landfills, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. At last Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before it, at the MCC meeting, the MCC was considering a letter to the two Midcoast sanitary districts asking them to reconsider discussion about adding composting to the list of services provided by Recology of the Coastside, the company contracted to handle solid waste on the Midcoast. Now, apparently, these two sanitary districts, Montero Water and Sanitary and Granada Community Services District, a few years ago, they surveyed their ratepayers about this subject, and apparently the consensus was that the ratepayers didn't want this extra service. It costs, I think, Chris Porter from Recology of the Coast Side was at the meeting. I think it's like $2.20 or $2.50 more a month. So $2.50 more a month, you get curbside composting pickup. It seemed like kind of a no-brainer, but this initiated an hour-long, sometimes testy and feisty debate at the MCC meeting about the benefits and values of composting. So some arguments for composting. Mm-hmm. Reduces landfill deposits, good for the environment, other communities are doing it. Arguments against were that it would cost extra, for especially for people on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
People can do it already at home already, or do it for cheap or free. And one point that people are making is the data is not conclusive on these environmental benefits. And I'll just point out a couple things people mentioned. One, some of the advocates for composting were saying, well, less stuff will go to the landfill. All right. But the numbers were squishy. Some people were saying, well, the landfill only has 19 years left. Other people were saying, well, there's 35 years left. How much composting material is actually going to the landfill? Isn't it just a small fraction of what's there? To which the response is, well, every little bit helps, and well, Half Moon Bay and the coastside's only a small portion of the amount of traffic going to the landfill. How's it really going to help? Well, it seems like an argument against that is it couldn't hurt. Anyways, there was a lot of back and forth, and I was really surprised that there was so much really opposition to the idea of composting. So the MCC voted to go ahead and send the letter, which just asks, based on inquiries to the MCC from residents, for the sanitary districts to renew the discussion and maybe reach out to their ratepayers and ask them again. Here's some things that I learned about composting. So there's actually a distinction between green waste and composting. I was always feeling like it's all pipes, right? It's all vegetative matter, you know,
right.
Whether it's old apples or branches from my tree could all go in the green waste, right? It's all
right.
Green waste.
Biodegradable stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, okay, when we get to the level of composting, no. Because green waste is just your yard trimmings. If you put food scraps in there, non-meat food scraps, because you wouldn't put meat in your composting,
mm-hmm.
that attracts pests and vectors, skunks, insects. Yeah. And so you have to, those two are
separate.
Two separate things, okay? If you put your food scraps, your composting stuff, into your green waste bin, Chris Porter of Ecology said that contaminates the green waste. It has to go to now a separate area and facility to be processed.
Wow.
So it's ruined.
Yeah.
So to me, that's an argument for having compostable, you know, curbside composting is, you know, some people live in apartments or they don't have the opportunity to do it on site. $2.50 doesn't seem like that much more a month to charge. Even if the data is not clear on how much it really helps with the land. Here's an argument people made as to not do composting. I don't know what the science of this is. So when you send your composting stuff to the dump, it gets dumped into the dump, and then eventually a cap gets put over the, you know, when they move to a new section, they put an earthen cap over that, which contains all the methane and all the gases. But when you compost in your yard and stuff, or even your compost bucket, those gases are not capped and they're escaping into the air.
Yeah.
And so is it more polluting to compost than to not compost?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have an answer to that. I'm just saying that was one of the arguments made. Here's another distinction when we talk about curbside composting. There's a distinction between household compostable materials, which would be your food scraps, your non-meat food scraps, and industrial compostable materials. That would include meat, paper, and other items. So it's very confusing to me nowadays when you go to some place like a high-tech company and you go to throw away your cup, and there's like six receptacles there.
Yeah. And you sit there
landfill,
like, where the
compost.
Hell am I supposed to put
like
my cup?
I don't know where this cup goes. Like, could I have a key to this?
Yeah.
You know, like a map that shows me like what things go where.
Yeah.
I don't know. A paper cup, is that compostable?
Have you noticed that New Leaf now they've changed it from plastic, glass, etc. to mixed trash.
Oh, okay. So you don't.
It's
single
it's
stream
trash,
recycle.
Or it's one of those.
Okay,
they're all the same.
So
that's good.
They
that's
simplified
helpful.
It for boneheads like me.
It's mixed recycling, and they'll figure it out.
Okay.
But do they have a compostable No. Okay, so... So, I mean, I was... Maybe people will... Oh, and we've got a call right at the wire. Okay, I was hoping we'd get some information on compost. Okay, this is Coastal Windage. You've got very limited time. Who are we talking with this morning?
Yeah, I sure do. Hi, Ruben. This is Barbara Mathewson. I'm on the MCC.
Oh, hi, Barbara. You? Thanks for calling. So can you just shed some light on this?
Well, I was one of the sponsors of this item on the agenda, and... We based our numbers on that 19 years by the grand jury report that came out, and also Republic, who runs Ox Mountain, they concur with that 19-year lifespan for Ox Mountain as well. So I don't know where this 35-year thing came up. I've never heard that.
Well, those are some pretty definitive sources there, the San Mateo County grand jury report and, what'd you say, Republic?
Republic, who runs Ox Mountain. And it's just an interesting thing that I saw at the meeting was it seems like the old-timers that live here are set in their ways. We don't want it. But the new people that have come here that have had it in other areas definitely want it.
Let me ask you this, Barbara. That's an interesting point, and we're running out of time, but I really want to... I was there at that meeting. I kind of noticed a dynamic. Do you think that... Part of the resistance, you characterize them as old-timers, let's just say like long-time residents. Do you think that part of their resistance, it could have been any idea, but the fact that I think that the first person who talked about composting, other than MCC members, were new transplants from San Francisco. I think there was a couple that had moved here recently from San Francisco. Do you think that's part of the resistance of like, oh, well, you know, those San Francisco people bringing in their newfangled progressive city ideas, like we ain't having it?
I kind of think that's part of it as well, that, you know, they don't, nobody likes change, it seems like, on the Mid-Coast. So, but anyway, I just wanted to clarify that about Ox Mountain, that I do think we need to worry about that, that it's going to take us 15 to 20 years to identify another landfill, and it being the only one in San Mateo County, it's important that we really start looking at that.
I mean, I appreciate the MCC and Barbara, you for initiating that agenda item. It's, I mean, it's at least worth a discussion, right? I mean...
Certainly. Yeah. We did not want to step on anybody's toes. We just wanted to open it up for communication. That's all. That was our only purpose.
Well, good job. Doff of the cap, doff of the KHMB cap to you for that. And also, thanks for calling in with some actual facts. This is Coastal Windage, but we like facts, too, and especially when we get them from a sitting member of the MCC, straight from the source. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate
Thank you.
That. Thanks for calling.
And happy anniversary.
Aww,
okay.
That's nice.
Thank you very much. Okay, thanks, Barbara. Okay, and that is Coastal Windage for today.
Yeah.
My anniversary, September 20th. 2019.
Yeah, you need to go shopping, dude.
I guess I'm heading out to Twice as Nice or something to pick up. pick up
on
some,
that note.
some expensive goods for my wife. Okay, everybody, have a great week. Don't forget, next week, tell everybody, tunein.com, hit search, and enter KHMV as in Victor to listen to us online or listen to our podcast at khmbradio.com. Have a great week,
have
everybody.
Have a good weekend.